Good morning. You're listening to Scariff Bay Community Radio, Saturday the 4th of January, and this is Saturday Chronicle. My name is Maggie Atkinson. I'm with you on a double shift, and I'm here for Saturday Chronicle with my colleagues Anita and Geraldine. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Maggie.
And this is a special show for Nollaig na mBan. It's all the women. So you're very welcome. I hope that you've all had a very peaceful and happy Christmas and New Year. And we look forward to another year of broadcasting from Scariff Bay Community Radio.
Yeah, it's been exciting. And it's wonderful to be here this morning, isn't it? Because, as you say, we're celebrating all things wonderful about women. We just had somebody in the studio that said maybe that we shouldn't be discriminating and so on. But as you said, Anita, every day is a men's day. So today it's all the women. So you know, we make no excuses about that.
Absolutely.
And Nollaig na mBan has a wonderful tradition. And, you know, Little Women's Christmas has been, you know, people might say it's a little dated now that perhaps, you know, in homes now, men and women share, and rightfully so, all the tasks. So maybe women aren't. Maybe in the past they would have had maybe everything to do around Christmas time. Not so much anymore, perhaps. It's now maybe shared up more equally and properly so. But still, it's nice to have a little downtime, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I mean, why break a tradition?
Exactly. Especially when it's, you know, that's all about celebrating.
Yes. Yeah.
And really, truthfully, I suppose, on a more serious note, there is an awful lot to celebrate in East Clare. There are lots of strong, influential and you know, women that we should discuss and talk about and chat about. We were thinking about that just before we came on air, weren't we, Anita? You were mentioning a few.
We were. We have Edna O'Brien, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has been writing books. The Country Girl sure was her, yes. Country Girls was her first mm-hmm. novel. But she actually has been named the winner of the 2019 David Cohen Prize for Literature, which is brilliant. I mean, absolutely. she's approaching her 90th year. And, you know, she's recognised as one of the greatest writers of the 20th century. And she actually wrote her new book, Their Girl, which was released in September. And it's a novel about Boko Haram and the kidnappings in Nigeria. So, you know, she's a great person to, you know, admire. Also, we have Eva O'Connor, who is a playwright and a performer from Ogunlow. And she's been doing extremely well. You know, she's written and performed various acclaimed shows over the last couple of years. And, you know, just reading up about her there, I mean, you know, she... Overshadows was first performed in 2015 in a couple of the Fringe festivals, and she won awards for it. But I mean, that was a personal. I don't know if any of you know about it, but it was, you know, to do about anorexia and depression and everything like that. So she has really, she's just doing very, very well.
Yeah, when she was around that time when she was touring, because she did that show in Lore, and when she was around, we tried to get an interview with her, but she got kind of waylaid and various other things and so on. But when she's home again, we'll try and get her in and get her on the radio. Absolutely,
yeah. I think definitely. That is a definite.
Yeah, because she's wonderful, wonderful. And the passing of Marion Finucane, we need to begin maybe that.
Yeah. So morning. Sad.
Yeah, that was a shock.
Yeah, absolutely, and really, you know, sudden, terribly, terribly sudden for her family and friends and people close to her and so on. My abiding memory. A kind of a random story, kind of out of the blue now, but I don't know if you recall or even if you remember this being spoken about, but when she kind of came on the airways back in the 70s and 80s, really, I suppose she wasn't maybe as well received maybe as she probably should have been because of her depth of talent and so on. Because there was this kind of feeling of, oh, you know, a woman can't do a good job in this, she'll... So the phrase was kind of bandied about that, oh, she'll never take over the chair of the Late Late Show. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of said for a number of kind of weeks and months and so on. So one particular Late Late Show, Gay Byrne, you know, as only the man could do himself, he had a panel of all women on his show. And in fact, all the audience were nearly women as well. And they were talking about all things to do with women's rights and equality and all of the things, I suppose, that were very relevant and very prevalent at the time in the 80s. Neil McCafferty was on with her as well. And just at the very beginning of the show, Gay Burns said, look, we'll... you know, it has been said that Marion Finucane will never take over the chair of the Late Late Show. Well, here you go, Marion. You can chair the Late Late Show tonight. So Gay Byrne got up and left.
And she did. The whole show.
And the funny thing about that is, the reason I have a vivid memory of that is, Dave Condren and myself, we were in the audience that night. And Dave was actually, I would say he was probably maybe about, there was only about three men in the whole audience. We got tickets kind of very strangely through various means. Not realising, because we were going on for the free stuff, as people always did. And we were there, and he was like, I thought he was going to take off, because there was nothing but nothing on the show of interest to the poor man. And I was thrilled to bits. I couldn't believe that I was there at this wonderful, wonderful show. But I have to say, I thought of that today when our... during the week when the poor woman passed away.
Yeah, because I mean, she was, you know, it was male dominated,
it was,
really, wasn't
completely.
It? Yeah, so she
yeah,
did so
she
well.
She blazed a trail. Mm-hmm. And her show, Women Today, that she had on radio, and she was the instigator of Liveline, mm-hmm. You know, that Joe Duffy now takes over and so on. She was, mm-hmm. she was the voice of women in broadcasting.
She
know?
Was, and I mean, they were talking about it. After, did you see the Late Late Show last night, where they had a lot of, you know, people that knew her obviously were mm-hmm. on it, but you know, they were saying that she'd listen,
yes.
and she'd be, you know, she'd listen exactly to what you were saying, be very sympathetic, and then attack, you know, but in a nice kind of a way,
yes.
you know, but she listened to everything, mm-hmm. and I thought it was very funny, like she earned $500,000 a year from RTE at one point, and then obviously she took a cut, mm-hmm. and you know, it and as she said, well, you know, it was what the market was, because, you know, she had offers from other stations. And anyway, why shouldn't the girls get it if the boys are getting
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes. And I mean, in a way, you know, it's, I suppose, to associate her only and completely with women's issues is doing her a huge disservice, mm-hmm. because she was... I cannot believe I'm even saying it in the past tense, because it's mm-hmm. hard to believe that she won't be on, mm-hmm. that she hasn't been on this morning, and that she's
yeah.
not going to be on tomorrow
mm-hmm.
morning on radio. But she really, you know, was a wonderful woman for, you know, not so much like somebody would be going on and on, politicians as they do sometimes, and others who are advocating their case and putting things across and so on. And then she would just say, "Ah, now wait a minute,"
mm-hmm.
or "Ah, come on now."
Yeah, yeah.
And so it would be like she had basically poo-pooed everything that had been said
yes,
in the last
yeah,
5 minutes.
She'd had enough.
And
yeah,
she was going, "Oh, come on, now, you know, she was absolutely terrific, absolutely wonderful." Maybe we should get moving on all our business for today and bring people back into Scariff Bay Community Radio's. Yeah. So, Maggie, do you want to tell us what the schedule is, or is that too soon? Maybe we'll
oh,
come
no,
back
no,
to that.
Well, I'll tell them for the schedule for today. First off, our schedule for today is we have Garda Focus, mm-hmm. and that's probably going to be done by phone this morning. You're going to read the news for us shortly,
yes. yeah.
And then we have a couple of guests coming in. We have Tomber de Carteret and Dan Burgess. They're coming in at 10:30. Mm-hmm. At 11, we have Paul Kenny coming in, and he's going to be talking about climate change and all things eco and sustainable. And Joanne Allen is coming in at 11:30, and she's going to be talking about her work with the ICA and also with Mission Vale. And then for the rest of the day, we have our usual lineup. I'm just going to get it up here now. Excuse me now. I'm not prepared, Geraldine. You've got me on the hop there.
Sorry.
Directly after our show at 12 noon, we have Around the Parishes, and that's news from Scariff at Marie McNamara. Then we have Nuacht, and that's been read by Bernadette Moroney. Then at 12:30, we have Lunchtime News with Ursula Hogan. At 1 p.m, we have Sportsline, and it's a listen back to a chat with Tommy Holland and Michael Doyle from Whitegate. Saturday Requests at 2, and that's been presented by Tom Handley. Anita's back in studio then at 3 with Everything 80s. We've Saffron and Blue then at 4 with Manus Maguire. And then the lock-in with Tom Botcher and his array of friends. They'll be here at 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock. At 6 o'clock we have the mixtape with Dermot Mooney, and Saturday Chronicle has been repeated at 7 p.m. this evening. And we have a full lineup of shows again tomorrow for on Sunday the 5th of January. So a busy weekend again, yes. on Scariff Bay Community mm-hmm. Radio.
And can I just say there, if anyone wants to WhatsApp in, you know, with play requests. If you'd like to, you know, contribute to our show this morning, the number is 085 865 9889. Be delighted to hear from you.
Great stuff.
So Geraldine is going to go straight to the news. Thanks, Geraldine.
So you are welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio's news and events. These are the headlines this morning, Saturday the 4th of January 2020. Lac Isle National School, in conjunction with the Parents Association, is hosting a table quiz in the Half Barrel Whitegate tonight, Saturday the 4th at 9pm. Great prizes for the winners and a raffle on the night. Your support would be appreciated. Ursula Hogan met up with Cliona Coyne from the Parents Association, and you can hear that interview in the main news at 12:30 today. Samaritans Ennis are currently recruiting new listening volunteers. Everybody is welcome to apply. For information, please log on to volunteer.samaritans.org. To mark Nullaigne Mon, Women's Christmas, a singing event will take place tomorrow, Sunday the 5th, at the Raheen Wood Steiner Secondary School from 10:30am to 1pm. Tombra de Cartier is hosting this event and is encouraging every woman to come along to sing in an informal environment. And as Maggie just mentioned there, if you stay tuned, we'll have Tombra in studio shortly to tell us more about that. Clare Money Advice and Budgeting Service, MABS, offer free, confidential and independent advice if you are struggling to make ends meet or are worried about money you owe. The Christmas season can be a difficult time for people bereaved by suicide. Clare Suicide Bereavement Support volunteers are available to help you. Support and help is only a phone call away. You are welcome to check the website claresuicidebereavementsupport.com. They ensure complete confidentiality. Aid to Burundi is a Bodaik-based organisation working to provide school textbooks in Karambai. One in four students have access to textbooks only. So if you would like to contribute to this worthy cause, you can check out the Facebook page Aid to Burundi. Fit to Farm is the name of a unique free six-week course for farmers to get fit. After a very successful first course, they're now running a second course, which will also take place in the Further Education and Training Centre in Scariff. And this starts on Tuesday, the 14th of January at 7:30pm. It's open to men and women and all are welcome. Ursula Hogan spoke to Margaret Lynch, Fiona Ward and a few of the participants. And you can hear that interview in the podcast on scariffbayradio.com. Drumandoura National School will be having a 5K and 10K runner walk tomorrow, Sunday the 5th, with registration at 11:30 at Sam Doyle's Drumandoura. Check the website runireland.com. Yoga classes will be starting back again on the 6th and the 8th of January in Whitegate GAA Clubhouse and on the 6th and 7th at Canucknagwiha Tulla Cultural Centre. Check Ellen's Facebook page for more information. Milford Care Centre had the Light Up a Memory Tree ceremony on Sunday the 8th of December for people who wanted to acknowledge and remember their loved ones who had died. Well, tomorrow, Sunday the 5th at 6pm, the lights in the tree will be switched off and a mass will be celebrated. Everybody is welcome. Next year is the 50th anniversary of Tulla United AFC. They'll be celebrating this milestone with a series of events over the coming year. They are currently compiling a history of the club, and if you have any photos or information or memorabilia you would like to include, please contact any committee member. Age Action are running free computer classes for over 55s in Ennis Library each Wednesday from 10:30 to 12:30 for a duration of 5 weeks. For more information, email gettingstartedgalway@ageaction.ie. The Alzheimer's Society Waterman's Lodge Dementia Specific Respite and Daycare Centre, Ballina Killaloe, are now taking bookings for 2020. Check the website for more information, alzheimers.ie. St Vincent de Paul Society East Clare Branch would like to thank all those who supported their recent Christmas food and gifts appeal. Any donations since Christmas will be used in hampers. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Home Instead Senior Care Ennis is currently hiring qualified home care assistants. Minimum requirement is a QQI FITEC Level 5 care skills and care of the elderly person, or to be in the process of completing the modules. The 9th Christmas Tree Throwing Competition will take place tomorrow, Sunday the 5th, from 1pm to 3pm at Active Ennis Thames Smith Park.
members of the public are being invited to break a unique Guinness World Record at the annual Irish International Christmas Tree Throwing Championship. Check out the website, clarecoco.ie, or Facebook for more details. The Holiday Show, in association with Shannon Airport, returns for its fifth year, taking place on the 11th and Sunday the 12th of January from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in a new venue, the South Court Hotel, Limerick. Entry and car parking is free. Visitors to the show will be in with a chance to win one of the many prizes on offer throughout the two-day event. Fecal GAA will be taking part in the Lights Up initiative in conjunction with Get Ireland Walking, Operation Transformation and the GAA on Thursday the 9th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Thursday until the 27th of February. All are welcome to come along to the hurling field, which will be floodlit. Two lucky kayakers were rescued recently when they got into difficulty on the Tipperary side of Lough Derg. One man is recovering in hospital after a multi-agency search and rescue operation was mounted when the Irish Coast Guard received reports that two men were in trouble and needed urgent assistance. Killaloe Coast Guard are holding a volunteer recruitment day on Sunday the 26th of January from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pierhead in Killaloe. So if you're interested in joining Ireland's only inland Coast Guard unit, then come along and meet the volunteers. View the equipment and pick up an application form. Full training will be provided for this essential service. Exercise class for older adults returns to the Scariff Community Hall, that's the GA Hall, on Friday the 10th at 12 p.m. More information from Fiona Ward. Mary Immaculate College will have an open day for students on Saturday the 11th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It will give thousands of prospective students the opportunity to explore its Limerick campus and discover all that the college has to offer. Free Christmas tree collection drop-off points will be available from the 6th to the 17th of January. One local point is the Scariff Recycling Centre, which has various opening hours. Check the Clare County Council website for more information. That's clarecoco.ie. Like all waste, your green waste must be managed correctly. Ogonolo Operation Transformation Group will be starting their first Operation Transformation on Saturday the 11th from 11 a.m. to 12 noon with a walk after the registration, information and weigh-in. All are welcome to join in.
First guest here on Saturday Chronicle for 2020. Delighted to be joined in studio by Tomra de Carteret, and she is going to be talking about her event that she's having tomorrow for Nollaig na mBan in Raheen Steiner School. Tomra, you're very, very welcome. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I have an annual event that happens on Nollaig na mBan. It's on the eve this year because it's obviously a Sunday and we're all back to work and school on the Monday. So we're gathering in song from 10:30 in the morning, and it's welcoming all women and young girls and elderly ladies who we last year I think we ranged from aged 5 to something like 70 something. So we're gathering in the morning, welcoming all singers or anyone who would like to sing, who'd like to gather as a community. You don't have to have any experience at all. All my songs are taught through kind of like a call and response method. So it's a relaxed and inclusive space.
So would you have trained in that method of singing?
Yeah, so I got inspired, I think I was about 18. I got led by a community musician, singer who came from the UK. And I thought, I'd been singing from when I was probably about 12 or 13 and was writing songs, but I saw her lead a group of about 60 people, men and women, in song and very easily in harmony. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then I was asked to lead a small group. So I started, I was 21, and I started to lead small groups on a Sunday. And that's kind of built up and it's been my profession since. So that's 18, 19 years now. I've been leading the group. I then went on to leading groups, and then I went on to do my MA in community music in the UL after that in 2008. So that was a a lovely networking and kind of get some type of certificate for that as well. Yeah.
So what is community music, Dunbar? Tell me. An MA in community music. I love that idea because I don't really have a note in my head, but it sounds like I could sneak in there and do the whole singing thing. That would be wonderful. What is community music?
So I suppose it's a different approach to music education. So it's more about bringing what the child or the adult has already, and it's kind of blossoming that out into the world in terms of in a structure of theory. So it's going into a community and kind of, I suppose, uniting them in music. So it could be through instruments. So there was, when I did my MA, there was people that had instruments that obviously would have been their main instrument and they would have done guitar. So you could go out and be a community musician teaching guitar. I was a choir leader. So that's what I've done. So I've led choirs and I've run workshops around Ireland or been a guest at a conference or different events. So and then I've done early years too. So I would go into preschools and I'd create music with them and improvise with them and just kind of go to their level of music more than walking in and saying, this is what we're learning and you've got to follow me. So I suppose there's more of a spirit to it for me personally. And I realised that's what I'd been doing for years. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll do it.
Let's get the certificate.
Yeah, exactly. So it was great. It was only done in 1 year, but it was great. Experience.
Because a few weeks ago there was a very special Saturday Chronicle on here with Jordan Collaran was here with and Carmel Tracy had a number of guests on, and they had somebody, Tommy Hayes, for instance, who's involved in music therapy. Or using music as therapy and so on. So I and again, that was in connection with UL and so on. I was fascinated by that and by his chat about how music is such a therapy for people, for communities, like you say, and for bringing people together. He works in a kind of a regular slot in Limerick where he would have, it's kind of like a drop-in centre for people with lots of different health issues, mental health issues, and people drop in and music is the key to their healing, really.
Yeah, you know, and it's wonderful. Our paths have crossed, actually, me and Tommy, because we've known each other for years. But I worked for the Limerick Mental Health Association as well. So I've walked into settings for service users and led them in song, obviously suiting their capacity. And that's been an amazing experience. So I've worked for Brothers of Charity as well over the years and done performances with them and weekly workshops. So over the years, I've got so much more experience. But yes, the crossover with music therapy and community music is amazing. So I'd walk in to lead the group and I'd see a load of instruments in the corner. I knew Tommy had been there the day before. So it's been, nice.
I am absolutely fascinated, as I say, by it, because I love being in the middle of music and love being in the middle of sing songs, but not structured things in the sense of not, as you say, something that I would have to be taught and stuff. I remember a few years ago when I was at a loose end and I wasn't involved in a play, and I said to Johnny O'Brien, I said, I think I might join your choir, the community choir. And he said, yeah, okay. And then he went off, and bless him, and he came back to follow. He said, you know, I think kind of we actually have quite a lot at the minute. I don't know if we'd actually have room for you. I was like, okay, that's okay, that's fine. I'm not a bit, you know. He said, no, honestly, but you know, because I don't really have a voice really for singing.
I think there's actually a waiting list to join. There is, because I wanted to join the choir.
It's probably not
as well
a personal thing at all, but I thought, oh, okay, he's telling me I can't.
Oh, well, there's no waiting list for Sunday, Jen. No auditions, no expectations. You can just roll on up. Yes. I think what's special about Sunday is that with everyone's ability, there's no expectation. Mm. So no one has to sing by themselves. So even if you feel, oh, I'm not so confident, or I'm just a bit wobbly, what's lovely is if you have a group of women or anyone, really, because I've led mixed choirs for years, you kind of end up just becoming one in the room. So you singing next to two women either side of you, you don't really hear your own voice. Does that make sense? I very rarely hear individual voices. I just hear the room. So I'm kind of reading what's happening in the room and I'm responding to that. Oh, we'll go on to the next harmony. So we get to do four-part harmony probably in less than half an hour, because I keep the words simple and just accessible to everyone.
Sounds fantastic.
Because you're saying about people's abilities there. everyone has a tune. Everyone can sing at some level, can't they? And I think, I mean, we are, you know, our culture is singing and dancing. And, you know, just over Christmas there, you know, I had, have elderly uncles and they've all the lovely old songs. Really, really nice. You know, and some of their wives would know all the words, but they wouldn't sing, you know, chorus singers, do you know? And it's just lovely. The I also noticed a couple of years ago, just going up to Raheen one afternoon, and a lot of people would have maybe a little bit of Alzheimer's, not, you know, but asked them to sing. And there was a woman there, and she really was kind of in her own space. But we started singing and she knew every single word. And then there was another lady, it was poetry, and this lady would have been in her 90s, and she was taught this poem in national school, and she remembered every single word of it. But it is, you know, and that I'm fascinated by that, actually. Just, you know, being able to remember words of songs, and maybe not being able to particularly sing them, but it just, how does that happen? Do you know, you know, it's a different part of your
brain function and memory and the hippocampus, and how that processes things. And, you know, as you know, as I've learned a lot myself this year, you know, there's, you know, there's so much about the brain that we don't know. But, you know, definitely with memories, you know, there are some memories which are held right back in the recesses, and some trigger, and they just come straight back.
But just, you know, so that, you know, I suppose, you know, there may not be people that would sing on their own. But there's all, like, so, you know, what you're putting on tomorrow would just be fantastic, because, you know, we all like to sing, but not necessarily up at the front. But we love a sing song and a community sing song where everyone kind of.
And then you get people that love to do solos, or they're used to being, they're used to being by themselves, but then they come in and they realise actually the power of singing with everyone else, and not being kind of an individual, the lead of a group, or is really important. I don't kind of give priority to anybody particularly, but really maybe I'll have some singers that would know the part, so I'd kind of like mingle them amongst, or, you know, if you're unsure about a song, or if you're looking a bit strained, I kind of read a lot of facial expressions, and I'm reading, oh, you don't look so comfortable, so then I'll kind of submerge them amongst a few people that know it really well. So it's kind of like supporting and inclusive. I wouldn't ever exclude anyone. You might have someone who maybe would be kind of really wobbly on their tone, let's say, but for me it's nothing. For me, I just kind of include them even more, if that makes sense.
Shall we take a piece of music, Tombre? And this is one of you, it's from Mount Shannon Arts Festival, it's Bambalela. I think I'm pronouncing it okay. Do you want to describe what this is as a lead-in before I play it?
Yeah, so I ran a morning singing workshop, which would be very similar to what's happening tomorrow, in Mount Shannon Hall as part of the Arts Festival. And I asked them that if my choir were going to sing, the village singers from Castle Connor were going to sing as part of the community fair day, was it, you know, in the marquee. And I asked if I could do the workshop, but then people from the workshop could join my choir and sing about three songs. So that was really amazing. I had about 50 people that turned up. Hardly anyone had booked, and they had turned up into Mount Shannon Hall, and we sang for the morning. And then I picked a few songs that I thought, oh, well, these are kind of easy. These have got a nice feel to them. And so they joined my choir on stage under the marquee then. And this was one of the songs, Bambalela. I'm not sure of the translation, but it's African.
Okay, Bambalela. Bambalela from the Mount Shannon Arts Festival, which was led by Tombre the Carteret, and that's a flavour of to come.
Tomorrow. I'm even considering doing that song, actually. So
just to recap, It's the Steiner School tomorrow?
It's the secondary part of the school. So okay. It's to the right of the building. So they have a brand new wooden building just as you go to the car park. There'll be signs, but there's just car parks and you can kind of go to the right side and it's in the main building there.
Okay. Yeah. And is there a cost?
Yeah, it's €20 per adult and then €5 per child. And we go from 10:30 till 1 and then we're asking people to bring a dish, a savoury or sweet dish, and it's going to be a potluck style lunch. And that's a really lovely way to just come together and share food and compliment each other on their food.
And are you limited in numbers or?
I had a good booking of about 30 last year and I think we squeezed in 45. So it was lovely. So no, I'm not saying no to anyone. I've just asked people to just message me and just say so I can put their name on the list just so that I have an idea of numbers, but really I'm welcoming all women.
Okay. And you were saying that you were involved in a choir in Castleconnell beforehand.
So my first choir I led was actually out in County Limerick in Foynes. I led them for 9 years, a Lunday, and then I had a choir in Castleconnell called the Village Singers. And so they're a mixed male and female choir of about 20. But I've just taken a break from that, and there's a woman called Rini that runs that. But that's a really lovely choir. So it's mainly, it's people that had interest in doing it on a weekly or a fortnightly basis instead of just workshops when I do it. So she has the same approach. People are welcome to join that choir and look out for more workshops, for mixed workshops, because I do summer sings or spring sings in the year, and that can welcome men as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And of course you're doing it tomorrow to celebrate Nollaig na Mban and Women's Christmas. We have to say that, don't we?
Yes.
Because we're all about the women this morning, Tom. Sorry, no, we have somebody else in studio that we're going to introduce to you, but he's here by default. Well, not by default, but he would talk about what he's here. But we have but it is important, isn't it, to like what I loved about the advert for your event, it said all women from little tiny people like children up along to, as you mentioned, like last year you had, or maybe it was off air, you mentioned that you had people from 5 or 6 up along to 75.
Yes.
So it's all women. It's about celebrating women and celebrating, I suppose, the role that women have in our lives, the role that which leads nicely into actually Dan's piece now, the role that our women, the women that our ancestors, if you like, the women that gave birth to us, the role that they had in our lives, is celebrating all of that, isn't it, tomorrow?
And it's encompassing. Yeah, it's encompassing so much in the day, because Christmas can be a time. It's a time of us being together, but it can be a time of loss. We can experience. We've been mothering. You can lose parents, and I just feel that there's such a heightened emotion around this time, but also around the lives of women. Sometimes to just come together to share on whatever a journey we've had up until this day. So it's just bringing all of that, all is welcomed into the room, and acknowledging that in this country, definitely in certain parts of Ireland, they've always celebrated Nollaig na Mban, whether it was literally aprons off and going down the pub and sitting in the corner where the men would usually sit and having their pints of Guinness. We're not going to do that, but it's in the same vein. It's about us just sharing. Maybe not by talking as much, but through singing. So I think it's a really healing thing to do without having to put words to it. And singing is obviously a really expressive, emotional thing to do.
I absolutely agree. Mm. I think it's really important. I think it's a wonderful tradition. I think actually it does happen, in all sorts of different shapes and forms, still even. I was reading something recently where this lady was reflecting on how, like you said, her grandparents, possibly, maybe her parents, as you say, would have just whipped off the apron and gone to the local pub for a pint or whatever and sat. And that was the only day in the year when it was acceptable for them to do that.
I know,
it's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's just to today, for tomorrow.
I know.
I'm saying I'm going to give you a bit of an injection of what is possible with your voice.
Absolutely, yeah.
Will we take another piece of music from Tambra?
Yeah.
And this is Bella Mama, and then we will go on to, we have another guest here in studio, and it is Tambra's partner.
Yep.
Dan. And Dan is going to be talking about a workshop that you're having later on in, or you both are having later on in January. And it's ancestral healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So we'll have, this is Bella Mama and it's Tombra and her choir.
I just sing it for you, shall I? Or maybe I'll do line for line. So just do the first bit, so it just goes. Bella mama, bella mama, yeah. Can you sing that for me?
Bella mama, bella mama, yeah.
Now that's a flavour of the workshop tomorrow. And Tombra was just saying, these are songs that you've gathered from around the world.
Yeah, I didn't particularly go around the world, but I took part in workshops from different facilitators. So they're community songs. I suppose in a way it's similar here in Ireland that you have traditional songs, mm-hmm. don't you, that kind of pass through the generations. Sometimes the lyrics change, sometimes the vibe change. It's kind of like that. So I would have taken part in workshops, maybe had access to recordings, gone home through, you know, because I haven't had any really real full-on theory education through music. So I've really kind of, it's more been a kind of a, I've been a bit of a sponge that I've kind of learned through that. Yeah. So the songs come to me, I have the sheet music, but I also have the audio. So that's how I learn. So it's kind of similar to how I teach people tomorrow. I've learned that way. So I do, I have songs from Africa, I have gospel songs, folk songs, songs, chants. So I kind of go through different styles, and some people will have preferences, but you know, they just kind of go for it. And the other thing is that sometimes in a traditional choir, you're expected to know what range you have, or are we using alto, do you sing soprano or tenor? I don't do that at all. I literally, people walk in, we learn a melody and they sing it, and then we learn a harmony and they go, and I go, okay, so what do you prefer? Oh, well, I feel a bit better if I say low, or I want to try high. So it gives you a chance to just explore your voice, because maybe you don't know. And then the people that know they're good at soprano, they go into the area when I separate everyone out. They go into the area that's strong for them. So it's kind of giving you a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best of luck tomorrow. I'm hoping to get there.
Oh, brilliant.
So, you know, hopefully I can learn some new harmonies or some new chants. Now we'll move over to Dan just to tell us about what you both have got planned later on in the month.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome.
I'll be facilitating a workshop with Tombra, my partner, on Sunday the 19th of January. That's at the Alpha Building in Tungrainey. So basically, it's called a Family Constellations Workshop. It also combines identity constellations. It's quite a complicated
sounding term, but just give you a bit of background. I've got specialist training in what would be regarded as multi-generational trauma, which is trauma that that gets passed on from one generation to the next. And you wouldn't know this by hearing my voice, but I'd be Irish. My parents would be from Ballymahon in County Longford, but I was adopted when I was 8 weeks old. And about 20 years ago, I came home to Ireland. And what I was really clear about was that people generally are not at complete and utter peace with their parents and their family. There's a, you know, we're generally surviving. You know, as a nation, we've been under colonialism. We've been traumatized by different dynamics in like social structures, and we have an opportunity to actually be free of that. And it can really change things. It's interesting hearing Tamra talking about singing, but you know, when we can actually allow in all the things we might be pushing away, the grief and the shame that we might have inherited from our family or been conditioned by just by our relationships directly with our parents, when we can actually allow that in rather than push it away, that gives us an opportunity to become whole again and become really authentic human beings. And so what Tamra and I are doing, we are having a workshop in Tumgraney, and it's a small group, probably about 12 to 16 people. And it's an opportunity to work in ceremony and with ritual and with exercises and also in group work to heal patterns that we've got in ourselves and we've also got across our whole family that stop us being really alive and really stops our heart from singing, which is really where I'd love people to be in life. So yeah, it's heavy work, you can say. It's not a particularly pleasant thing to face when we say this is ancestral trauma. But when there's a space in a workshop, and I can authentically say this, to welcome, that has the capacity to welcome everything that's in your life, not just the good stuff, you know, just the really heavy stuff, and know that it's okay to have that seen in community, it actually starts to catalyze a healing process where we start to reintegrate. We can look at it in many different ways. We can look at explanations for it. But what I really love is that I used to not be at peace with my family system. I wasn't at peace with my mother or my father. And when I came to this work, and I came to it from a background of different healing modalities and also training as a homeopath, I trained at the Burren. I was the last intake at the Burren School of Homeopathy. When I came across Constellations work, it was basically saying that you can heal all your family trauma and you can be at peace with your parents. And I knew full well that I was not at peace with my parents, because when I thought of my parents, there would generally be a lot of grief, and there'd also be things that we don't like to acknowledge. We feel things such as anger and rage, and things that can really tear us apart, and they can actually turn us on other people, and we can turn on ourselves as well when we're feeling such deep emotions. But yeah, the idea was that you can really be free of this. So I decided to commit to two trainings. One was in the UK in Somerset. That took 2 years. That was family constellations. And at the same time, I also did a training in Oslo with a professor from Germany in what's known as multi-generational psychotraumatology. So we're healing the family system with the first, but we're also healing the splits in the psyche in the second. It's almost the same thing. It's not really any different. There's different approaches to it. And what's lovely is that I think I'm one of the few people in the world who can say I'm doing it with my partner. And that's really special to me. There's something about working with mother and father energy as a man and a woman together. I mean, that just does something really, really great. Because there's things that I can do that Tamra can't do, because I'm more masculine than she is. And there's things that she can do that I can't, because she's more feminine. But what we see from this work is the masculine and the feminine is in both male bodies and female bodies. So, you know, we work as a couple, don't we? Mm. Yeah.
And your workshops, they must be very emotional, are they?
Yeah.
If you're, you know, people are coming forward and probably talking about things that maybe they haven't been able to speak. Does it become very emotional?
It can be really emotional, yeah. I mean, it would be easy for me to give you an idea of what we do, but I'm not going to because there's some people are sitting at home listening to this, but there's probably some people who are driving. And I'm not going to go into an actual process, but I've done that before on live, but, you know, we have to be cautious of that. But, yeah, deeply emotional. People can literally bring everything. And when they start to feel safe, people don't generally feel safe in life. We might not even know what that means. We think that means, you know, the house, the front door's locked, it's nice and cozy at home, that's safe. But when there's been something happened through generations, which is trauma basically, we don't often know what absolute safety feels like. But when you can come into a group where the trust starts to build and the feeling of safety starts to build, which can happen really quickly as well, people can actually allow all these parts of themselves and aspects of themselves to actually start showing up. And quite often we don't actually have a control over that. As soon as there's a safety felt at an unconscious level, things can start to appear. So yeah, shame can come up, and grief. Loss is huge. I mean, we, for example, I mean, we're not kids in this, you know. We've really got some gravitas with helping and holding and welcoming people. I mean, three Christmases, can I talk about that? Three Christmases ago, Tamra got really sick. She was pregnant, and just the week before Christmas, she was rushed into hospital, and we lost a baby, and we literally came home the day before Christmas Eve, and I was in Scariff with no presents, literally the day before coming out of hospital, having to walk around. I remember going in bands, and Mairead looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" And I just burst into tears. And I think she thought at the moment that I just really lunched out on the Christmas shopping. And then I told her what had happened, and she just really got it. And I literally walked around Scariff just from Centra to bands to you know, all round. and so we, you know, if you might have lost a baby, you might have lost a parent in the past few years, you might be the last person alive of your generation, and you're 80 or 90 years old. We can work with that too. I mean, you might be facing the fact that you haven't seen your mum for years and she died 10 years earlier, and we can do rituals, we can bring all that in, and it's deep stuff, it's soul work. It's not psychological work. That takes care of itself. But this is deep, deep work. And it's no accident that the person who founded it was a psychologist, but also a priest. I mean, it did come through that. And also Zulu tradition in Africa. That's where the main bulk of it was. So the healing takes place in community. And you could say it's a healing in tribe. You know, we can't, I don't feel we can do this work on our own. That's what I experience.
And how long your workshop, it's on Sunday the 19th of January, how long will a healing take, I suppose is what I'm asking. Is it just on for the one day, or do you just start people in the process?
Oh no, this can be in and of itself a complete thing, if you could call it a thing. You know, one exercise could last half an hour and that could be enough for someone. You know, someone might have what we call an interrupted reaching out movement. As a child, we reach out to our parents, and if our parents don't reciprocate that, that can get broken, the reaching out movement, and we don't reach out into life. So we see this everywhere. People just can't go and take life for themselves, which might sound greedy and selfish, but isn't. It's actually a really healthy thing to do. And so, I mean, half an hour, that could be 45 minutes. It's amazing how quickly things can change. Some people have said that one constellation session can be the equivalent of 10 years of psychotherapy. I don't say that. I think that's a bit arrogant, actually, a bit presumptuous. You know, there's some extraordinary psychotherapy around, and constellations work can take years too. We can't suddenly flip a switch necessarily, but you can have spontaneous things happen. But
yeah, everybody is different.
Everyone's different, and everyone's got a different load. We all come into the world. I mean, all we did was got born, You know, that's all we did. And we've done nothing else. There's no, for me, that is, and that's all we did was got born.
But I suppose we are rounded by, you know, however we're brought up. What am I trying to say? You know, you are how you're brought up, really, aren't you? And it's not necessarily you. You know, it's your surroundings, it's your family, your culture, but that may not necessarily doesn't define you as the actual person.
So I'm just sitting here. I find it absolutely fascinating, absolutely fascinating, Dan. But I'm just putting myself just for a second into the shoes of somebody, as you say, listening at home or in the car or whatever it is they're listening to us this morning, and maybe kind of vaguely thinking, yeah, okay, gee, that's something now that, you know, that may very well answer a need that I have just at the minute, but I'm really scared. Because, you know, I suppose we can be scared about, first of all, I don't know the person who's speaking about it, and I also don't know who else will be there, and what kind of dynamic will go on, and what will people think of me, and like all of this, like it seems to me, just being the devil's advocate, it seems to me to be a massive leap for somebody to take into that situation, in a kind of a group situation, and like how do you mind that? How do you how are you mindful of that? How do you address that? You know what I mean? Like, I suppose that's what people have to do. They just have to take that leap of faith, perhaps, and go and do something. But is there any way to address the fears? I suppose that's what I'm talking about. You know, how does that work?
It's the privacy of the individual. Yeah. If they want to share something, you know, that the group will maintain that confidentiality and that, you know, that it's not going to be broadcast around the community.
Or do you do individual healing? Maybe you do individual healing as well.
We do one-on-one sessions, but in terms of the confidentiality, we're incredibly strict on that. I wouldn't even presume someone knows what I mean or what we mean when we say this is confidential work. We really are really explicit about it. And we go over that again at the workshop, and I ask people, you know, to really abide by that. This isn't work that you would go and back to your partner and tell them what happened that day. It is literally to keep it contained. And what's really critical, if we actually can step up to that and honour the request for complete confidentiality and to contain it within ourselves, that's what helps to build that sense of safety and trust in the group. To actually know you don't have to go and talk to your husband or your partner or your friends later on that day. And what's really important too is that when we start to experience that level of confidentiality, it strengthens us and it strengthens our relationship to language. And it also means that we don't risk sharing something that's really important with someone who isn't on board with us. When we start to share, we might have all felt this, but I feel it. If ever I've got really enthused about something and gone and shared with someone and they're not on board with me, I almost feel like a beach ball that's been popped and I just start to deflate. It's just not worth taking that risk. So we really, really strict, like I say, and people do not go home and talk to people about this. We do say you can contact us after the event if there's something you need to talk about. And obviously if someone has a shift to do with their a relationship with their most intimate partner, that's okay to talk about that because it's directly related to their own relationship. But you have to be really clear with people and ask and invite them. And people do. I never hear any leakage. And we certainly, even when we meet someone in the cafe, we don't then ask them how they did from the workshop. So we've got really clear boundaries too.
Can I say something about
sure.
that? Yeah, that obviously because we're living in a quite a close-knit community and we're living here. You know, I've been here for 30 years. We have our kids in school. So, yeah, we're really clean on those boundaries. And I suppose giving a bit of a structure to the day helps too. I'm quite a structural person. I'm a Virgo and I like things to kind of be organised. So if I just give you a little taste of... in terms of like we welcome you into the space, you know, you might make a transaction of money at that time or in the break, you can have a cup of tea, it's an open planned room, we have chairs in a circle, We come together in a circle and we introduce ourselves and the training that we've had and how we structure the day. And then if people would like to share individually why they have come today, they don't have to do that. They can literally just be physically in the room. It's really just kind of instinctually following your needs at the time. So if no one, we don't put pressure on anyone to speak about their own personal details, and they might just need to say their names, because sometimes even just getting in the room is actually the big step. And even just something worked, you know, they saw the poster or someone mentioned it to them, or suddenly someone said, oh, I'll mind your children, you can have the day, and they go, oh, okay. And then they've got money in their pocket and they go, okay, maybe I'm meant to be there. So it's, we've got a lot of people that take part like that, that they go, okay, maybe this is time for me. But we really take it slow. We pace the day. We take breaks. We talk about the process. We can hear feedback if someone's upset about something or they have questions about it. So, you know, we structure the day. It's not like a free-for-all. Me and Dan have exercises that we've been trained in which to just be able to experience the work and representation. And we have a closing circle at the end.
Yeah.
So it's kind of to share, of course, what I'm taking away from this today. And then some people come back to workshops too, or they do one-on-one, or they do big, longer retreats where you can do up to a week. So it's giving you a taste. What we do gives you a taste into the work.
And I was really interested as well, Dan, when you said that if somebody needs to contact you afterwards, because there is maybe a concern as a teacher sometimes, we would have had that in school where you might have somebody who would come into the school who would do something really valuable and really important with the students by way of personal development, but we would always have to be mindful that there would have been a scenario where they go home and perhaps are all kind of mixed up and not sure about what it is they're coming or going. So they might need to talk to somebody afterwards about and straighten out some of that stuff that has happened. And that's obviously something that they can do with yourselves as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, some people wouldn't do it like that. They see process workers in and of itself complete. Mm. I personally don't. Mm. I like to know how people are doing. I'm not a nosy person, but I'm genuinely curious. Yes. And I like people to stabilise. That would be a word I'd use, you know. Stability is really important. So if someone does need to touch in, and I do free sessions on the phone anyway on my website, people can ring me and book in a half-hour appointment. I talk to people all over the world, and no obligation.
So it's obviously something that you personally, Dan, have found really good for you well. So therefore, that's a wonderful thing as well, isn't it, when if I was coming to your workshop, I would be looking at you and going, you know, that's something that has happened for him, and therefore, you know, this is possible. All things are possible when you see it being so, you know, when you're such an advocate of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That it isn't simply just running something for the sake of it, you know. Yeah, it's been very effective for yourself.
Yeah. Incredibly effective, yeah.
So the date again?
So it's Sunday the 19th of January and it starts at 10 a.m. and we're just suggesting people, you just need to make bookings.
Yep. And whereabouts is it being held?
It's in the same building, which is part of Raheem Woodsteiner Community School, and it's run for the whole day, and we just ask people to book in advance because there's information we just need to send to you.
And is there a cost involved?
Yeah, so it's €70 for the day and €60 concession.
Okay.
And people can find your Facebook page, have you?
Would be best off going to my website. That's www.danielburge.ie. So that's danielburge.ie.
Okay.
Lovely.
Great.
Very interesting.
Yes,
very
wonderful.
Very interesting.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. Okay. Tombra, Tombra and I go back a lot of years.
Yeah.
Dan I met only last year through Sive and all things wonderful. How is she doing?
She's doing great. She's
sorry,
happy.
We're talking about Amelia. I'm so sorry. I have to.
Amelia's in music college in Dublin. Yeah. She's really happy. Yeah. It's hard to. So it was hard to keep her home for 3 days at Christmas because she's composing and just living the student life, skinny because she's not eating. And
that's okay.
working hard.
God, no, she couldn't be any skinnier, honestly.
She's a very talented young lady.
Great girl.
Yeah,
we had so much fun.
We were really proud.
She was terrific last year with us, and we had great old chats, dropping her back up home after rehearsals where we'd be debriefing. That's what we were doing. Yes, on the way
And
home.
I miss her, and we'll miss her tomorrow. Yes. I think Aurora, our youngest here, she'll be coming with me tomorrow. My mum's going to be there, and my mum's a foster mother too, and she's got a girl that's going to be with us. And she said, I don't know if I want to go because Amelia's not going to be there, so she's going to miss her. So, yeah, it's a real family affair for me, you know, to have my girls would have been raised in singing. I would have been pregnant when I was teaching with Amelia and her in a sling, and it's been the same for Aurora. Yes. So they've both been immersed in singing. Mm. Dan too, but he can't come tomorrow.
Oh, Dan, you can't go tomorrow. Oh dear. Okay, that's okay.
Okay. So listen, thank you so much, and the best of luck with both events. I hope to get to one, if not both of them. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and look forward to having you back again on Scariff Bay Community Radio.